talk to me a little bit about your life growing up and wanting a broadcast career?
Yeah, well, my life growing up, my career are kind of different things. I had a really tumultuous childhood. When I was 6 years old, I woke in the middle of the night and my house was on fire. And like the whole front of the house was already gone. I barely got out in time. And unfortunately, my sister Maria, who was 11 at the time, she didn't make it. So that day, like everything I knew just disappeared. And I know, like, not everyone's had a house fire, but I'm sure people can relate where we have to start all over again, you know? And that day I lost my parents to the grief. So I've been on stage since I was 5 years old. I've always been an actress. And I started hiding behind characters. I started to kind of look for an escape. I think, you know, in some ways we're all actors and wearing masks and trying to like cover up, you know? Because really, I mean, humanity is suffering. Life is not easy, you know. It doesn't matter how affluent you are or famous or, you know, like whatever, wherever you are, life is not easy. And so a lot of times we just like wear these masks and try to live, you know, these different lives. And so since I was an actress, that came really naturally to me. And I thought, well, my life's so miserable, I'll just take on the life of someone else. And it was a misuse of a gift, right? And just kind of went through my life checking boxes. And, you know, I thought, once I have this, I'll be happy. Once I have that, I'll be happy. But it never, you know, really happened. And I did. I hosted a TV show for ABC years ago on ABC 5. It was a fashion TV show, but the nightlife of that show it was much more wild than the work I'm doing today. But yeah, I was thinking this morning because I even interviewed Susan Lucci, I think, at the Emmy Awards like years ago. And I never rolled out of bed and said, I want to be a TV host. You know, I've always just been an actress and an on-camera personality. And it's just something that God is just keeps opening doors for. So it's interesting. But you know, sometimes I was reflecting today, like maybe God could see things that we can't, or He knows what's best for
Well,
us. And yeah.
he puts you in positions where you know you where he knows you can survive and flourish.
Yeah. So it is interesting. I was thinking about that this morning. And then funny enough, I had another interview today. And just before my interview, Susan Lucci was doing a commercial. So I was just thinking about Susan Lucci from
It's
as
the
many
circle of
years
life.
ago.
But you found acting therapeutic
Yeah,
in a way.
absolutely. I did, but I would like to take on more like the girls who had it all together, actually. Like just the really simple, you know, like perfect Hallmark movie story, you know. I still want to be in Hallmark films because I just like the happy endings. I'm ready for happy endings, you
Well,
know,
yeah,
and
but
good things.
I'm not sure. You know, it's nice to have those fairy tales, but life isn't a happy ending unless you see the happiness in what you're doing. You know, it's never clear what makes you happy until it does.
Yeah, and I think a lot of happiness stems from like the serenity prayers I've been thinking of a lot, like the things that we can't control, we just have to let go of, and like, but have the courage to, you know, move forward and work on the things that we can. And I just, there's really like, I feel like we have nothing to lose. A lot of times that's the battles, like we're afraid of and holding back of something, whether it's a gift or a talent or like, you know, anything, a relationship. But then it's like, well, what's the harm? Like, what is there to lose to just take a step and see what
Or
happens?
just let go of everything and let the river carry you for a little bit
Yeah,
and see where it goes. But you were also and are still a model. You do a lot of that. That's not always clean and wonderful work, is it?
no, I mean, years ago I did much more modeling. You know, I'll just never forget like being on a photo shoot and just they talking about me like I'm an object instead of to me as a person. And you just, you know, in that scene, you just see and experience a lot of stuff. I had a photographer once, you know, have me do some poses and stuff that were not, you know, he said it was art and all the models had to do this, you know, and I kind of fell for it. And I'm not saying the pictures weren't beautiful. I'm just saying they, you know, involved some nudity. And yeah, it could be art, except that I was young. I was, I think, 18. He was giving me alcohol and kind of like threatened me, like, if you don't do this, you won't work in this town. And then I got the courage to get the files from him and said that, luckily they weren't like downloaded on the computer and stuff like that. And I destroyed them, and he threatened me I would never work again. And and he thought he's so powerful. It was kind of a misuse of power, but I did work again, and I was on a billboard in Times Square and model for Jergens and stuff. So it's like it is interesting though. We have to be really careful, whatever our gifts are, whatever industry we're in, to not let people push our boundaries and to use our gifts for good.
Yeah, and I think that's the lesson that needs to be taught early. You know, when young girls are being approached to, become models, legitimately or not so, there's classes that they can take to, to ward against, unscrupulous people, even bad contracts. I mean, it may not even be the photography. You have a bad contract that you can't get out of, and all of that needs to be, involved in someone's growth in any of these industries.
Yeah, I think everything becomes a learning experience, and then like hopefully we help other people learn. But yeah, I'm still learning. I'm still learning a ton of stuff, and I'm trying to always look for the light in things and not focus on the distractions or the darkness of it all.
There's an old saying that if you can't find the light, you are the light.
Oh, well, then let us just be the
Let us be
light.
the light.
Let us be the light.
And when we met at the Chosen, you told me
Yes.
this incredible story of, that moment, that pivotal moment where, it dawned on you who you might really be. And can you relay that to my audience?
So I was out in LA for a photo shoot. I was on a rooftop in Hollywood, Hollywood sign behind me, whole photo shoot team there. And I'm holding a compact mirror in the photo shoot. And I look back and I'm just like, this doesn't match. Like, who are you? Because what looks so glamorous on the outside, I was just smashed to pieces on the inside. And I spent that night just crying on the shower floor of a fancy hotel room in West Hollywood. But it was like the first real prayer I prayed in years. It was simple, like, Lord, I need you. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, please just help me. And when I returned from that, I was wide awake, walking to my closet of all places. And I had, it's kind of like a near-death experience or what people have said they had on an operating table, but I was wide awake. I wasn't sick. And I saw my whole life flash before my eyes. I saw like all of my sins. I didn't even know I was in sin. I saw the ripple effect of my actions. And then most of importantly, I saw that I hadn't loved. And I was just like, God's merciful, but I was just really sad. Like I didn't fulfill my purpose. I wasn't fulfilling my purpose. I wasn't being who I was created to be. I was misusing the gifts that I have been given, on the wrong things and selfishness instead of like trying to connect with people or form relationships or to love or to do something more deeply.
You don't lump them all in the same boat either, so that some of these self-help things do. If you do this, you're going to get this result.
No,
You can't.
I think even like the book I wrote, Become the Fire, is about hearing God's will, hearing God speak to you and finding out his will. And I even say in there, like, we have different personalities. He's not going to talk to everybody. Obviously, the scripture is his word, so that's a common thing. But as far as like how you perceive him, how you he's going to talk to you according to your personality. You can't put God in a box, and you can't put yourself in a box. Like, I think the mystery of the human person and the divine in us is just something that, like, we'll never know ourselves in depth. We'll never know somebody else in the greatest depths. Like, there's just always more to learn, more to grow, and it's mysterious and can be exciting and fun.
Why do you think people deny the divine in themselves?
I honestly, being that I had this tragic house fire when I was little, I think a lot of times it's the like, why do good things happen to bad people? What did I do to deserve this? And a bitterness towards God. But he doesn't promise that bad doesn't happen to us in this life. He just promises that he will bring a greater good when we, turn towards him. And I think it's not an easy concept you know, when you lose someone you love, or someone if they got raped, or, you know, any kind of trial or tragedy, is like, we don't always feel God's warm, fuzzy presence. So I think a lot of times there's kind of the enemy wants to, so God has, I believe God has a plan for our life, but we do have an enemy, and the enemy's plan is to keep us from God's plan. So I think that's the battle, like, to keep people thinking, oh, God doesn't love me. He, you know, why would he let this happen? He doesn't live in me. Like, and they want to become the master of their own destiny, because a lot of gurus out there will tell you to do that. But it's a mistake, because we should participate and we should think positive and we should totally like go for things. But with God, when you partner with God, you're guaranteed to succeed for something good. You know, when we take matters in our own hands, half the time we don't even know what's good for us or what direction to go. So I personally think people deny the divine just because they don't know how much God loves them. And if they knew how much he loved them, I think their hearts would, you know, be open, and they would just, and it's never too late either, right? Even for any doubters, it's just never too late to say, like, okay, God, where are you? Like, show yourself to me. How do I know you're real? I think honest, raw conversations with God, you know, is really, really beautiful.
Well, and those are the real prayers. You know, when you're having, you know, you could get on your knees and you can repeat stuff and all of that, but the real prayers are in your heart, you know, and when somebody's reached the end of their rope, or, you know, so to speak, I mean, that's that's when God kind of, you know, is forced to step in and show you that he's around. And I believe that God just slaps you in the face with a fish sometimes and says, listen, here's where you went wrong. Just, you know, do something right.
Well, I think also there's also this kind of condemning image of God. Like, if you mess up or whatever, you know, he's done with you. And I think there's a lot of, because we are sinners and we're not perfect, I think that we sometimes hold on to shame and guilt in ways that we shouldn't. And that is not, it's really just this distorted view of who God is. Like, he's not, like, sometimes I'm like waiting for him to be like, you know, he's gonna hurt me. And it's like, no, you know, you have a new chance. It's a new day. Like, as long as we're trying, and most importantly, like what I was shown in that vision, it wasn't even that I actually saw like Jesus in that very moment, or God the Father. It was just an illumination of like a knowledge of my soul. But what I saw more than anything is that we're judged on love. And, you know, it's like, really, that's the number one thing when we die is like, did you love? Were you a good person? Were you kind? My grandmother was one of the most religious people you've ever met, but she very rarely even had to say God's name. You know, like, she just was glowing and kind and loving. And I think of St. Mother Teresa. She didn't care what religion people were or what nationality, or, you know, if they were rich or they were poor. Like, she just loved them. And then they, you know, they just saw God through her. And so, I mean, that's really Christian perfection, is to just love everyone. And that's what we're going to be judged on. Were you kind? Did you love? Did you use what you were given to make the world a better place?
Become the fire. The title is really interesting to me. Where did that title come from?
Yeah, well, so from this tragic house fire, you know, my parents were just swallowed in the grief. And my dad on his deathbed, you know, I just was staring at his body, like near lifeless body. And I was filled with this sorrow of, wow, like, this was a man that, like, God had a plan for. And he spent his whole life consumed in agony from the flames, because he tried to save my sister, but he couldn't get to, like, there were flames all around her door, his arms were getting all burned up, so he couldn't get to her. So it wasn't his fault, but in his mind he lived with this. And up to a week before his death, he'd scream at night, it's not my fault. And it wasn't. But, you know, now here he is on his deathbed, and he spent his whole life thinking something was his fault, and just, you know, and it just filled me with this utter sorrow of, like, I'm gonna fight for I don't want that to happen to anybody else. Like, you know, not to me, not to you, not to anyone watching this. Like, we need to, instead of letting the fires overcome us, we need to have that light within, you know, grow brighter and brighter and become the fire that makes a change.
People who have read your book, I mean, they get in contact with you. What do they tell you about the book changing their lives?
So this woman, she's got five kids. She lost her job. And part of the book is finding your purpose. Like, what are your gifts and your talents? And like what's in your wheelhouse? Where people affirmed you? All of these questions are in there. So it's somewhat of a business book too. It's interesting. But she lost her job and she was desperate. And she read the book a couple of times. And now she went into a whole nother field altogether. And she's happy and, you know, able to support her family. So I think what I've learned is there's so many people struggling, maybe even embarrassed to tell somebody else. And I think what the book offers a private space for that person to kind of go through the fires in their life, and what are their fears and what's holding them back, and to take that, you know, into the silence of their hearts where they don't feel judged.
Are you working on a new book?
Well, so I never even tried to be a writer. It's not my thing either, but I'm on my third book. I am writing, I'm more in film and television, as you know, so I'm writing a TV series to go with my first book now, called Master of the Pieces. It's a mini series, and so that's in the works. I'm writing another film, Behind the Veil, which is like a romantic comedy sci-fi, but I'm more into, you know, being on camera and producing, and writing sure. just kind of goes with it. I think it's like any way to be a mouthpiece for God and try to bring some hope into the world. But I just wrote a song too, and I recorded it yesterday for the book Become the Fire. So there's a Become the Fire song coming out. There's a Become the Fire pilgrimage to the Greek islands if you want to go with me in 2026.
Maybe I will. I love the Greek
islands. Really should sign up. It's like it's Become the Fire in the footsteps of St. Paul in the Greek islands. We're going to Mykonos and Santorini, but then also on land to Patmos and Athens, and it's going to be incredible. So that's 11 nights. So we have the pilgrimage, we have the song. I'm giving Become the Fire talks around the country. I've already started that. And just continuing to push forward.
I think we need you to come out here into Salt Lake City and do a talk out here too, because people will just love you. And
I would love that. Yeah, I did interviews for the Sound of Freedom out there. I think it was, is Provo near?
I
interviewed Tim Ballard and Mira Sorvino and stuff for Sound of Freedom.
Angel Studios and those.
Yes, people. Angel Studios. Yes, and I'm actually interviewing them Wednesday for King of Kings.
So yeah, I'm going to be doing that as well. I'm on your heels. Just gonna.
We're doing the same stuff.
Yeah, we're doing the same stuff.
It's a good thing we look different.
Yeah, you know, no one's going to mistake us for each other. I'm the before, you're the after. It's just how.
No, we're just different and perfectly different.
And all your books are available on Amazon.
Yes, on Amazon.
Do you prefer Amazon or is there another?
Amazon's the easiest. They ship really fast if you have Prime shipping. Yeah, but you can learn just more about the work I do on my website as well, to joellemarin.com.
Yeah, when I saw Master of Pieces, I ordered it. I just said, oh.
You did? Did you read it?
Not yet. It hasn't come yet. I ordered it yesterday as I was preparing.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to let me know what you think. It's deep. So I was I was temporarily paralyzed. Someone tried to kill me. Like, wait till you read this book. You're going to say, and this girl's still walking. So it is, but it's not a competition of who's had worse stuff. I guess the point is, if you pull back the veil, you'll start to see that all of us have gone through.
You know, Mel Brooks, who's a dear friend of mine, used to do that with people. They come up and go, well, you know, I was almost murdered once. And he goes, you know, I had a hangnail. You know, it's everybody's pain is a little different to them, you know.
Yeah, sure, certainly.
But wow, you have lived a life and you're managing to just open your heart and shine your light, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and it came with a lot of tears. Like, I want to be just so transparent. Yeah, I'm full of joy right now, you know, and I'm very, very grateful. But I've been doing the work, you know. This experience I had that I shared, the near-death experience, it was 13 years ago last month. So I've been healing for 13 years, like seriously, you know, focused on this. And I do have a great amount of freedom in my life, but it doesn't mean that people can't still hurt me. I have such a tender, sensitive heart. I get hurt all the time. I just know how to get back up, you know, like to ask God, well, what do you think of this? You know, to take his opinion over others, to not idolize people or put them on a pedestal because people are flawed, you know. So just, you know, again, still respecting and honoring mentors and people I trust in certain areas, but then also knowing like whose opinion to not take so seriously and to not get hurt. So I would just say like, my book and my work came at a price of pain. It wasn't easy to write and relive all that. But my hope is that other people don't feel alone and to say like, okay, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And it is a process.
You've got to protect yourself too.
Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, some people will try to mess with boundaries or say like, oh, you're Christian or you love God, so you're going to do what I say, or then you're not good. You know, like it is like, but you're not God. He's not telling me to do that. I think there's a lot of confusion out there on what it means to even be Christian.
Thanks for watching Screen Chatter. If you'd like to catch up on all of our celebrity interviews and movie reviews, just log on to screenchatter.com. And you can also follow us on social media, including Instagram, X, and Facebook. Again, thanks for tuning in to Screen Chatter this week. We'll be back next week with another show. I'm film critic Tony Toscano, and I'll see you at the movies.